Hello, welcome to Oh No Ross and Carrie, the show where we don't just talk about fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal, but take part ourselves.
Yes. When they make the claims, we show up so you don't have to.
Yes.
I'm Ross Blotcher.
I'm Carrie Poppy. And today we have a very special interview. Well, not quite an interview. An interview. Mm-hmm. But the hardest core kind of interview, Ross.
Ooh, what do you call that?
A Paul interview. A Paul interview.
You're interviewing someone named Paul?
No, We've done that. Have we?
Yeah.
Who? Paul
who? Aetherius Society.
Oh, of course. Also known as Peter. A Paul interview is when you hook someone up to a polygraph.
And they're eating polenta?
If you want. And then you ask them the deepest questions of their soul. Now, I know what you're thinking, Ross. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that our last episode? No, because you know what? I don't interview you. I just gab with you.
Right.
We're old buds, like
shoot
whatevs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this time, guess who? Hoon ein interviewn.
I'm guessing someone fancy with all this buildup.
It is someone fancy, Ross. It is someone who I would call both a friend and our mutual idol.
I'm looking over on your bookshelf and I'm seeing some books. Is it maybe an author?
It is an author of an embarrassing number of books.
You have,
right there.
I don't know, if I look at your shelf, I see, let's see, Helter Skelter, Under the Banner of Heaven. Oh, I see a John Ronson book, another John Ronson book. I see a George Burns book, another John Ronson book, and a John Ronson book. Well, someone's a fan.
But then immediately you get to a book put out by the fundamentalist LDS Church, and then you're like, what the heck is wrong with this person?
If you didn't listen to this podcast, that would seem out of place.
Yeah, it's true. I had an ex-boyfriend who you knew a while ago. Craig, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
His name, Craig. And he once told me, you know, if I just saw you sitting around reading the books you read, I would think you were a completely different person than you are. It's true. Anyway, yes, John Ronson.
Yeah, wow.
I know. Who's a friend of ours. Well, he's a friend of mine. Have you ever met John?
Not in person.
Oh, no. My goodness. Well, he's a fan of our show.
Yeah, well, I'm so honored.
I know. And he wrote The Men Who Stare at Goats.
Right.
He wrote Frank, which just became a film.
The Psychopath Test.
The Psychopath Test, big bestseller.
And certainly right up our alley in terms of the subjects he looks into.
Yes. He loves like fringe groups. There's a book called Them that he wrote where he just infiltrates fringe groups. That's amazing. Really good. Everyone should read every single one of his books except for Clubbed Class because he hates it.
If our listeners were to say, oh, I want to read a John Ronson book, which one would you recommend they start with?
Actually, good question. And this is not a common answer to that question, but my first choice would be Lost at Sea, which is actually a collection of his shorter writings, mostly for The Guardian. But I think it's just the best volume of a whole bunch of different stuff pulled together.
You heard it here.
Yes, you did.
All right, so you Paul interviewed him.
I Paul interviewed him.
And this was long before I was subjected to the voice polygraph.
This was May, Ross, and we're recording this in October.
And you met up in
6 months ago. Oh, wait, no, I can do this. 5 months ago.
Well done.
And my parents were not math teachers.
You met up in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Okay.
The city that never polygraphs.
Hippie town.
Yes, it is.
I can say that because I come from Santa Cruz.
And also, it is the once home of Charles Manson.
Oh, yeah. You went to visit there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And no one knew what it was. Or there was like no indication that...
Like you met a barista or something who didn't even know who Charles Manson was.
In his defense, he was like 18.
Okay.
But yeah, I said he was right across the street from the old Manson house. And I was like, do people come here to see the Manson house? And he's like, the what? And I'm like, Charles Manson, he lived across the street. And he said, oh, I'm not very social. I don't know people around here.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a little sad. The 18-year-old just knew his serial murders.
See, that's how you get new serial murderer people, because then they find a flock of people who've never read up on the previous generation.
And then that's their following.
Exactly.
Hail the people who don't read stuff from the 70s.
That's right. They're doomed to repeat history.
Anyway, so I meet up with John Ronson.
In person, in the flesh.
In the flesh. Well, I think it was in the flesh. Maybe it was some sort of spirit John Ronson. I don't know. Now you got me freaked out.
I mentioned John Ronson to one of my coworkers who said it sounded like a fake name.
Really?
Like, oh, John Ronson, like Harvey Manfringenson.
Like your made up boyfriend name?
Yeah.
What's his name? John.
John.
John Ron.
Ronson. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. But no, he's real. And we took the voice polygraph, yes, before even you, Ross, but we did it wrong.
Yeah.
You did it right, which is to figure out a good way to actually test it by saying
lying.
Some things that aren't true. But I remember having the thoughts that I had at the time.
You sound a little William Shatner there. I remember having the thoughts. At the time.
It's very hard for a girl to do William Shatner. I feel very
awkward just did
like, trying to do that. All right. Well, thank you. Okay. So say you do lie.
You do
lie. Well, you kind of encountered this one flaw in the system, right? So let's say you do lie about something. Mm-hmm. And then the polygrapher says you told the truth. And you're like, no, I lied. Well, I don't know if you lie. You know, I'm still like trusting you.
Right.
Whereas if you test things and you're like, hey, we agree to just tell the truth. I don't know. It seems a little cleaner somehow.
Yeah.
And we're just sort of like, you know, holding each other's feet to the fire.
That's right. You're always taking the person's word for it in the end, whether they were telling the truth or not.
It's true. But I don't know.
But some seem like more obvious blatant lies.
Right. And there's something just more convoluted about like, oh, I didn't lie, but that said I did lie.
Right.
But no, I'm telling you now that I did. I don't know.
Yeah, it's murky territory.
But the way you kind of fixed it was to tell me in advance, I will lie about two.
Right.
Which is kind of like I hadn't really put that together in my head that was one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you guys had fun.
We did. And so, Ross, you have not heard any of this audio. You're going to listen to it with our listeners.
That's right.
And then we'll come back with you guys every few minutes.
Woohoo!
All right, so Ross, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All
Let's
right,
hear it.
Come meet me and John and the voice polygraph. So, John, you don't know what's going on?
No, all I know is it involves a polygraph.
Yeah.
Polygraph, is that?
Yeah, polygraph.
I suddenly had a sort of crisis of confidence about how to pronounce it.
Well, I did last night, so try and figure out whether it's polygrapher or polygrapher, the person who administers the polygraph test. Well, in any case, we're going to both be taking a polygraph test, and we have chosen the questions for each other to try to make each other into the worst human beings possible.
Okay. And is it, I mean, because we're not in the room with the polygrapher.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to be over the telephone.
So they look for micro tremors in our voices, which are supposed to be an indicator of lying. And supposedly, it's just as good as the one in the room.
Really?
They're both supposed to have 98% accuracy, which I doubt a little bit.
My voice is kind of tremulous anyway. My voice is tremulous now, and I'm not lying about the tremulousness of my voice.
That should be okay, because first they take a control sample, right? They have you say some things that they know are true, like your name.
Okay.
And then they compare, or the machine compares your other answers to that baseline.
Yeah. Have you written any questions to me that could actually cause me serious trouble in the real world?
I don't think so.
Thank fuck for that. You know, the great human rights lawyer, Clive Stafford Smith,
mm-hmm.
has taught me how to foil a polygraph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Will I tell you? Will I tell you now? I mean, I don't know whether to try and do it or not, or whether...
So what if you say, what if the question, this isn't the question, but let's say the question is, have you ever fucked a guinea pig? And you say, yes.
I say, no.
Right. But let's say that you haven't, and you say yes to try to fool the machine, and it says you weren't lying, and then you say, ha-ha, see?
Yeah,
I
you're
fooled
right.
it. Then I'll be just think you fucked a guinea pig.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I won't do is then I'll try and just like deal with the questions without using Clive Stafford Smith's technique. And then
I mean, feel free to do whatever you want.
Okay. But at some point, I should tell you and...
Well, I've read a bit about this, too.
Uh-huh.
And what I read basically said you try to fool the control questions first.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know how? I'll tell you now we're on the subject. This is what Clive Stafford Smith told me. Clive is very anti-court sciences.
Oh, okay.
Well, Clive is very anti-courts.
Uh-huh.
He thinks, you know, there should be no criminal justice system. But anyway, his way of fooling the polygraph, he says, is when you're asked the control question, you have to be thinking the most graphic sexual thoughts
yes.
you can think. And that skews everything. And then think the same graphic sexual thoughts when you're being asked the actual questions.
Oh, okay. So you'll be thinking of guinea pigs the whole time.
Yeah. It's funny that you actually picked up on my secret shame. But it is interesting that basically most people basically just assume the polygraph works. And
yeah.
But most people who've studied it think that it's not reliable.
Right.
Okay, so who's the man on the end of the phone? And are you going to be putting it on speakerphone?
Yeah, I'll put him on speakerphone if he allows me. I don't know if that changes the reading for him at all. Mm. I haven't explained to him who we are or why the hell we're doing this, so he's gotten completely batshit questions.
Right.
And probably wonders what the hell is going on. His name is Wes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been doing this 10 years. I've never seen questions quite like this before. I know you guys are kind of doing this for fun as an exploratory thing, but usually we'll do tests where someone is either trying to they contact us because they're being wrongfully accused of something. Whatever the situation is, there's usually stress associated just with taking the test. So the sense of stress is primarily produced when the fight or flight kind of reaction comes to play in the body. The way that's produced is when there's a fear of discovery, fear of loss, fear of consequence, fear of retribution.
So it's got to be questions where you've genuinely got something to lose if the true answer comes out.
The stakes on our questions, you're saying, might be a little low.
I'm very happy to ask if Carrie has been unfaithful.
Sure.
I assume he means to my boyfriend.
Current boyfriend.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I will call you right back with another number.
Okay, great. Thanks, Wes.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Ross. John asks me questions first, so what do you think he asks me?
Okay. Well, clearly it sounds like he's getting ready to ask you if you have been unfaithful to your current boyfriend.
Sure, that's one.
Okay.
What else?
Maybe he'll ask you if you have lied at all on our show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Maybe he'll ask you if you are really a natural blonde.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm running out of things.
Sir, you and John share a value of sensible questions, I'd say, okay, that I don't share.
No, that's what makes the show interesting. You never know what's coming from Carrie. Yeah, I'm trying to think of things that might
You're actually a good person, I think, to guess what John shows, because I would never choose the thing John shows because they're boring, ordinary things a person might actually want to know.
He might ask you if you've ever stolen anything.
Okay, that's good.
And I don't know, how many questions does he get to ask you?
I think Wes gave him 6. You can ask anywhere from 4 to 11, but your accuracy supposedly goes down the more you ask. So the later questions get less and less accurate.
Why would that be?
I don't know, but he said that the studies that have been done have been on the 98% accuracy is on 5 question tests.
And they've got to catch you when you're fresh and nervous.
Yeah, and then if you do more than that, maybe the body acclimates at some point.
You're like,
point.
Oh, this is comfortable.
Yeah, whatever.
I can do this all day.
Yeah, I fucking killed him. What do you care?
Yeah, right.
What do you care? All right, well, let's see if you're right.
Okay.
So if you said to me, have you been unfaithful?
Right.
And I have been unfaithful,
uh-huh,
but I don't want people to know that I've been unfaithful.
You would say no.
I'd say no.
Correct.
Okay.
Hello?
All right.
Okay.
So, let's see here. So let's start off by asking, Carrie, let's ask you to begin with some questions to build a profile for you. So,
okay.
Let's see here. How old are you?
I'm 30.
At any time in your life, have you ever been diagnosed with amnesia?
No. Not that I remember. Ba ba ba.
I want you to know that I thought it, but didn't say it.
And then the last thing is to help make sure that our voices don't overlap one another. Just wait till I completely ask the question before you respond to it. So if I were to say, on this question, please lie, have you ever been to Mars?
Yes. I'm starting to get nervous.
All right, here you go. You ready?
Yes.
Is this the year 2014?
Yes.
On this question, please lie, does your house have a floor?
No.
Do you ever secretly eat meat or otherwise abuse animals?
No.
Are there 12 months in a year?
Yes.
Are you a sex pest?
No.
Wait. What's that? Sex pest?
I had to ask John what that meant. He texted all the questions to me.
Uh-huh.
And I read them and I was like, what is a sex pest? I don't know if I'm one. And
yeah,
he's like, a sex pest. And yeah, apparently it means like someone who badgers you to have sex with them. I guess that's what it sounds like.
It's a British thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Blimey.
Chip, chip. Right.
I can't believe I didn't think of the animal one.
Obviously. I know.
Because I would have just never, ever suspected.
But actually, I did hem and haw about how to answer because they said, do you ever eat meat? I know the answer is no. But then he said, or otherwise abuse animals. Then I was like, well, okay. So if like there's leftover pizza with cheese on it and I eat it, mm-hmm. is that creeping up the supply and demand chain? I'm not sure.
Oh, that hemming hawing makes it look like you're lying.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. One of the things John and I talked about is how having like a sort of thoughtful, brooding personality could really screw you
right.
on these tests.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to not only be telling the truth, but you've got to be just very...
Yeah, feel like you're telling the truth.
Yeah, arms akimbo.
You're just sort of like, well, right, exactly. All right.
Are you over the age of 18?
Yes.
Is there a darkness in your soul?
Yes.
Is there a darkness in your soul?
Yeah.
And you said yes.
Yeah. Well, I felt like there's a darkness in everyone's soul, right?
Well, then why would you even ask the question?
You're giving me a look like you're not sure. I don't know. You don't feel like there's a darkness in your soul?
I don't know. Not really. Well, now that we've established this.
I don't feel like my soul is dark, but like a darkness, any darkness?
A dark passenger, would you say?
Yes, I am possessed. You should have asked that.
It's a Dexter thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he refers to his desire to kill as his dark passenger.
Jesus. That just sounds like he's a racist writing a murder mystery in 1920.
You know, it didn't sound as stupid until I just said it right now.
On this question, please lie. Is this the month of May?
No.
Do you sometimes drink water?
Yes.
Do you ever hide your belief in the paranormal to avoid the wrath of skeptics, especially the Randy people?
No.
Do you sometimes watch TV?
Yes.
Do you find the skeptical community weird?
Yes.
Are there 8 days in a week?
No.
Have you been faithful to your boyfriend?
Yes.
Do you speak English?
Yes.
All right. Got one done, obviously. Any questions or anything so far?
Do you have
I
any,
should
John?
Have asked if you've always been faithful, because there's more chance that you'd be forced to lie, or maybe you'd just tell the truth. Anyway, it's done.
All right, you ready for the second test?
Uh-huh.
How old are you?
46.
And have you ever had amnesia?
No.
And, any hearing impairments or hearing problems I should be made aware of?
I'm sorry? I'm kidding. No. Am I the first person to have ever done that?
I would say no.
Okay. I can hear a tremor in your voice there. I think I am the first person.
Okay.
So, Ross.
Yes.
What do you think I asked John?
Oh, boy. Well, probably something about his allegiance to Satan, knowing
sure.
you.
Well, that's important information. If my friends are keeping Satan as their constant overlord and master, I think I should know that.
Okay. Maybe you asked him if he's ever had to sleep his way into getting a book deal.
When you said that, I pictured him actually asleep, and I was like, how would that work?
What
and
kind so of sex pest are you?
I think it's because it's John.
Oh,
I think that would be his version of sleeping your way into a book deal, would be somehow leveraging the act of falling asleep into getting a book
deal. Sure, okay.
All right, anyway, go on.
Let's see, maybe something to do with bodily functions or something.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe,
good.
Maybe something good. About his toilet hygiene or something.
Ross, you're nearly on the money.
What?
You ready?
All right.
All right, very good. Yeah, here's some interesting questions. These kind of gave me a chuckle. So the first one says, have you ever put anything other than a medical necessity in your butt?
I called it.
Very good, Ross.
All right.
What do you think he said?
Wait, put anything except for like a medical device in your butt. All right, I'm gonna say he's gonna say no.
Okay.
Have I ever put anything other than for a medical necessity in my butt?
Yeah.
Define necessity.
He's not supposed to repeat it. He's supposed to just quickly answer yes or no.
Well, this is the first time he's hearing the questions.
Oh, okay.
So he's thinking about it for a second.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay.
The first, as you may recall, the first time around, you get to kind of ponder for a second. Right. And then you take it two more times.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And maybe this is why they want you to hear it in advance.
Right.
So you're not sitting there repeating it.
Right.
Do I ever sleep around with Jessica? Yeah, exactly.
Ah, great question. Do you have a soda?
Right. Stalling for time.
Like an enema.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that question is good?
Yes.
Valid, okay. Your planned response would be yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Wait, hold on. Let me clarify. I meant an enema is a medical necessity.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, man. You're so excited about it. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have inserted things that are not a medical necessity.
I'm so glad you got
into my rectum.
Yes, directly in there. On to the next one. But then I had to go and clarify.
Oh, speaking of rectums.
Yeah.
We had a listener write us and say she had particular expertise in this area. That the whole sphincter clenching thing.
Oh, yes, that you mentioned in our previous episode,
right, is not to make you feel like stress and affect the test that way. A traditional polygraph, it pushes on your blood vessels and increases your blood pressure.
Right, okay. So it has an effect on your pulse, but not...
Right, and so it's still...
Our blood pressure is different than pulse, isn't it? So I guess just your blood pressure.
Right, and so that changes your baseline, but not in the way I was suggesting.
Got it. You were thinking that would just hurt your butt.
Yeah, make you uncomfortable.
Sure.
I think that's what I said.
So are you clenching your butt now?
No.
Now I'm clenching my butt to see if it's uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable.
So you learned it here, folks. Clenching your butt does not make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, not uncomfortable. But it does take it takes a lot of your mental power. That's true. It is sort of distracting because my butt just wants to let go.
Right.
At some point. It's like, I'm not pooping. What are you doing? I keep clenching it and then sort of forgetting and letting go and then reclenching it.
All right.
So anyway, that's what I'll be doing for the rest of this episode.
All right. The rest of you, please.
Play along.
Hey, clench your sphincters while listening.
What do you call that thing that they do to you in spas, like annoying
spas? Oh, like
a spas.
Bidet? Oh, the colonic irrigation?
Yeah, colonic irrigation. That's not a medical necessity.
You're right.
Yeah. Yes.
You did that, Ross.
I sure did. I took one for the team the butt.
I guess John Ronson has also.
Yeah, he's very excited to
you
say
guys
yes.
Have so much in common.
Yes.
You cleaned out your colons. You have... boring questions that have nothing to do with
very straightforward.
You didn't ask me a single butt question. Neither of you did.
Well, I didn't ask you any questions.
Oh, yeah. All right, well.
Well, actually, some would argue it is because it cleanses the colon and for health purposes, which is kind of...
But there's no evidence that it really does anything. In fact, if anything, it could take away the...
Yeah, the probiotics in your colon.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we could make it interesting, say, aside from colonic therapy.
Well, there was a pencil.
Really?
I don't know.
You don't know if sometimes a pencil's been in your butt?
Sometimes when you're concentrating
sure?
on your work, you might inadvertently put a pencil up your ass. That's not beyond... Is that beyond the bounds of possibility?
What if we said, have you ever...
Intentionally for like sexual reasons.
Yeah.
Okay, ask that.
Okay. Can we say, have you ever for sexual reasons put something in your butt? Are you still there, Wes?
I love that he just waits. He's still on the line, right?
Are you still there, Wes?
Have you ever, for sexual reasons, put anything other than a medical necessity in your butt?
Yes. No, I'm kidding. No.
Okay. All right, here's another interesting one. Is Satan your overlord and constant companion?
No.
Is that question's okay, though?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, so you came up with that wording for him. I thought it was just for me. I thought I was special.
No way. The wording was given to me by my overlord and master, Miss Ella Poppy.
Hello, Ella.
That's my dog, everybody.
I can see her from here.
Yesterday, Ross, I made breakfast. This is a real thought I had in my head. I made myself breakfast. I started giving Ella pieces of it. I realized I had eaten like 2/3 of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's not fair. And then I divided it so that she got half.
When like that, she weighs much, much less than
pounds,
you.
And I'm 132 pounds. But I was like, I just immediately thought like, well, that's not fair. That's how my brain works.
Sure.
All right.
I don't need any clarifying with that question. unlike the bad question, I'm constantly.
Yeah. It's not sure if they're medical necessities.
Yeah. Sure. And also, you know, your mind wanders. Yeah,
if you're stimulating the creative process, is that a medical necessity?
So I'm glad we made that one okay.
All right. Number 3 says, do you think Alex Jones is insane?
Do I think Alex Jones is insane? No. My final response is no.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because, you know, John has done a lot of work with Alex.
Oh, has he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
A lot of fascinating work. And then he infiltrates Bohemian Grove Alex Jones. And Alex comes away saying that they've seen human sacrifice. And John's like, no, we didn't. It's a great story.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I want to read that one.
We'll talk about it more at the end of this episode, John and I.
All right. And then lastly, have you ever regretted having a child?
This is a question that my friends gave me. I was staying with my friends, John and Allie, and I was like, what are some really hard-hitting questions? And they're like, well, is he a parent? And I said, yeah. And they were like, ask him if he regrets having his kids. It was like the first thing they thought of. And I thought like, oh, that's actually a hard question. Some people actually might be like, you know.
Huh.
But
I could see if they had multiple children saying like, is Josie your favorite child?
Yeah. You know, actually, when I was preparing questions for you, there were at least 2 I dismissed because I was like, this will actually be awkward. I thought about asking you if you thought you were smarter than I am.
Whoa.
And I went through all the possibilities of what happens with every answer. And I was like, I don't want any of this.
I don't have an immediate answer for that. I would say no.
You would just hem and haw.
I don't think I'm smarter than you.
Is it a medical necessity? Oh. Oh, well, thanks. Ross, is it?
It is Ross.
All right.
All right. And then lastly, have you ever regretted having a child?
No. God. Oh, but, you know, I mean, Jesus. You know, to kind of, you know, when things are really rough.
I would think everyone's answer would be yes.
The moment passes through your head.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter. You know, it's not real.
Okay.
So what do I say to that? Yes or no?
I don't know. I would think, I would constantly regret it. So I don't know.
No.
Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody's yelling.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
You know.
I have a 16 and a 14-year-old, and there's times I really regret.
Oh, see, right. There you go. We should make you take the test, Wes.
I take that as a yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I would think everybody at some point would be like,
yeah,
maybe this was a bad idea. But I don't know. I'm also speaking from someone who doesn't want kids, so.
And my child certainly was not intended.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't really think of a time I would have thought that thought.
Oh, well, see, yeah, that's why you're a parent. See, I think that thought while watching other people's videos of their kids.
So I mean, I've certainly been upset at my child.
Oh, sure.
But I don't think I've thought, you know, like, I wish I never had you.
But, like, we have a friend, Zeke, who has an adorable little girl named Sagan.
Oh.
Cutest little girl.
Cute as a button.
And Sagan's videos are my favorite baby videos of all time. And still, around 250, I'm like, God, I'm glad I don't have kids. Because at that point, I'm just like, this is what you have to do all day. She's still talking about stripes and colors. Jesus Christ, pick up a book, you dipshit.
And yet you love having a dog around.
She's perfect.
Who never progresses from that infantile state.
Excuse me? She is very mature. She's almost 8. Fuck you.
Yeah, can she name colors?
No, but she knows the difference between squirrel and bird when you get her toys out.
It's really sad. I'll see those Sagan videos, and I'll take them to my next-door neighbor at work and be like, I know you don't know this person or her child, but watch this video.
That's great.
But she enjoys it.
We'll put up a Sagan video with her mom's permission on our page.
My name is John Ronson, and it's May the 6th, 2014.
On this question, please lie. Does your house have a floor?
No.
Are there 14 months in a year?
No.
Have you ever, for sexual reasons, put anything other than a medical necessity in your butt?
No.
Is Satan your overlord and constant companion?
No.
On this question, please lie. Is this the month of May?
No.
Do you sometimes drink water?
Yes.
Do you think Alex Jones is insane?
No.
Have you ever regretted having a child?
No.
All right, not bad. Any questions so far?
No, that's good.
All right, ready for the second round?
Yeah.
It seems like this tester that you guys had was a lot more willing to insert himself into the process. I mean, my guy told some stories, but it seems like this guy's a little more like eager to tell his side of things.
Yeah, he had a really good time. He was telling us all about like the history of polygraphy and how the process works. And he was really into like us sharing information and being journalists. He had no problem with it. It was pretty cool. We won't heal all of that today because some of it's redundant from our last episode, which people should listen to. But yeah, no, he was really cool.
I like it.
All right. Would you give me about 20 minutes or so to get through both of your cards and everything, and then I'll talk back and send you guys an email. We'll go together and I'll explain how it works.
I've got a question for you, Wes. What's the difference? Because obviously what this is looking for is a guilty conscience, right? But what's the difference between a guilty conscience and anxiety?
Well, it's kind of a fine line, but essentially, like for example, if you're being accused of murder, there's gonna be a lot of anxiety there because you're worried about false positives or being wrongfully accused of something.
Well, sure. But both me and Carrie, you know, are anxious people anyway, so our anxiety levels are higher than normal people anyway.
Do you think that's true?
I was going to say, I like how he's calling you out as being an anxious person.
Do you think I'm an anxious person? Do you? Do you? Come on, be honest. Do you really?
Yes.
Do you feel that way? No, you don't. Really?
Yes.
You know, actually, I've been told many times in my life, either, yeah, of course you're anxious, or no, that's crazy. You're the calmest person I know. But I think those are...
No.
I think those are two sides of the same coin. Okay. I think people who are really anxious, then when the shit hits the fan, we're like, guys, I've been preparing for this my whole life.
Oh, right. I've been running the zombie scenario over and over in my head.
Okay, we're on the Queen Mary. We're walking across a gangplank. There are ghosts around. I got this shit.
Right.
No prob. Oh, my God, I lost my backpack. I'm going to lose my shit. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, when I said to Carrie, you know, are you ever cruel to animals? It's like Carrie, as sort of an ethical and an anxious person, will start thinking about the kind of nuances of that question.
Yeah, I started thinking like, oh, gosh, well, if I borrow someone's cream, is that being cruel to animals? I'm not sure.
And that's really important, right? Isn't that a kind of really important thing? Because it's like if a psychopath, if somebody who has like no empathy and no remorse is asked that question, you know, isn't this a test that is prejudiced against overly ethical, anxious people? Because we're thinking too hard.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I prefaced when I first called you guys that these tests are really designed for things like pre-employment, where it's talking about things that really happened in your past as it relates to drug abuse, alcohol abuse.
Do you think that's true? Do you think just like being thoughtful would skew your results?
Well, I mean, depending on how they're reading them. But yeah, I think so. Because it shows hesitation, vacillation.
Yeah, I would think so too. But I will say most of the time you're probably not asking your husband these sorts of vague questions. You probably are just saying,
right,
did you put your dick in her?
Right.
Or whatevs. But then, see, then if you put your dick under her armpit, what do you say?
Well, it's not in.
Exactly. So you start going through your head, well, it's not in. Yeah. It's not in.
Depends on what in is.
Exactly.
With something like murder, I totally get it. But even when you said like alcohol abuse, like, I mean, I don't drink. I don't have a drinking problem. But I can quite imagine somebody who's got a little bit of a drinking problem. It's like if you've got two people who have exactly the same drinking problem, one of them is really empathetic and anxious, and they're going to be thinking, have I got a drinking problem? And then the other one, who's going to be much more sort of boorish and, you know, hooligan-y, are going to go, I've not got a drinking problem. But actually, they drink exactly the same amount of alcohol.
And maybe one's just oversimplifying.
Yeah.
Like that for employment, pre-employment, they wouldn't necessarily ask that, but they would ask something like, have you ever had a DUI?
Oh, right. Okay. So you would try to ask the most, like, quantifiable questions.
Yeah.
Right. So actually, my cruelty to animal question to you isn't really that quantifiable.
Yeah, good fucking job, John.
So we're being, like, nervous and defensive, trying to hide our feelings of guilt with comedy.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Do you think I do that, Ross? Do you think I hide my feelings with comedy?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, good. That's funny. I thought that the anxiety thing, you might say no, but I thought for sure you would say I hide my feelings with comedy, but look, it was flipped.
I think you wear your emotions on your sleeve.
Well, thank you.
So when did you get your results?
He calls us back in maybe like 5-10 minutes, and in the interim we watched that video on their website about how the techniques are done.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we didn't mention this last time. It should be fairly obvious, but it bears mentioning that, you know, if they are analyzing micro tremors, mm-hmm. like in the 8 to 12 hertz range, something mm-hmm. like that, and are saying that these are sub-audible, mm-hmm. this presents a real problem, especially if they're conducting this over the phone.
Right.
Phones tend to compress audio and take out, you know, unnecessary
and
ranges.
Its whole purpose is to get what is audible to the human ear.
Right, exactly, yeah. So they're not going to waste bandwidth on that. So the likelihood that that is even there to analyze, mm-hmm. you know, ignoring the issue of whether it exists to begin with,
right,
is problematic, let us say.
Yes, yes. And then let's just remind people, or people who didn't hear the first episode, we're talking about a success rate of around 36%. Literally every time they think you're lying, they should assume you're telling the truth and vice versa, and they would have better odds.
They'd be almost like doubly effective.
It's amazing.
Sounds like you're lying. At least means you're telling the truth.
At least in the Department of Defense study.
Did you guys get the email?
We're about to find out if we're liars.
Yeah.
No, we did three charts or three sets of tests, and usually the first test has a lot of stress, period. It's just because it's the first test.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, do you want to look at Carrie's or Sean's first? Or John's first?
Carrie's.
Sure.
Okay. The bottom line is that everything looked fine. Where the little bumps in the road were, on the third test, the first and second were fine, but on the third test, questions number 4 and number 5 did have deceptive indicators.
Liar.
So, I had
what were you fibbing about?
Well, wait, they were inconclusive because they went up and down, up and down.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the questions about whether I think skeptics are weird.
Oh, and you said yes, but maybe you don't think they're weird.
Yeah, very complex feelings. This is what I'm talking about.
Weird. I mean, what does that even mean?
I don't know. And also, why would I lie about that? Like, that's the more awkward thing to say, that you think a whole group of people are weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing you don't want to say,
weird.
Right?
I don't know. Just weird doesn't seem like the right word choice.
Well, that's John Ronson's fault.
Jeez, that guy.
I know,
right? He needs to learn how to deal with words.
Exactly.
Mr. I Write Popular
Books. Why is
books.
This best-selling author not giving me better questions?
Oh, you've got the results right here.
I do. Okay, so numbers 4 and 5. Do you ever hide your belief in the paranormal to avoid the wrath of skeptics, especially the Randy people, which is a reference to James Randi, a magician? And I said no. And then, do you find the skeptical community weird, which is a community around those claims? And I said yes.
And you intended to be honest on both of those.
Yeah, uh-huh. So those came out inconclusive. Actually, twice, I think, they came out as non-deceptive, but once they came out as deceptive.
Oh, I see.
I secretly believe heartily in the paranormal, mm-hmm. and I think the skeptical community is unweird. Those seem kind of...
at odds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, well.
Well, it's inconclusive.
It's inconclusive. Who can say?
I don't know what to conclude.
So, since the first two tests were fine, and the third test did have those indicators, we still would call it NDI or no deception indicated.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I've just looked at mine and you found deception on that question that worried me.
Oh no.
He failed Alex Jones?
Yeah, well, again, inconclusive. We got a whole bunch of inconclusives that you didn't get.
No, mine were so conclusive.
Yeah, no.
But he might possibly think Alex Jones is insane.
Right.
I couldn't fault him for that.
And I think it was just John thinking about it. I think that's not an easy question to answer.
That vacillation comes across as microtremors.
Right.
Which may or may not be.
Yeah, maybe it does. I don't know. But yeah, we talked about that here.
I would love to see what that guy was actually doing with the audio. My guy, too.
Yeah, I wonder if he just like pulls up Audition and looks at the waveform or if there's a special machine or what.
But as we discussed earlier, it doesn't seem like they're just taking the easy out, which would be like, yeah, seems like he's telling the truth. I'm going to say he passed.
But they do, you know, they did talk about how they use their own ears as well. You know, that if you chirp a bunch of answers, if you're like, yes, no, yes, no.
Oh, right.
That they listen for that too. And that seems like, well, anybody could do that.
But he passed the Satan overlord and constant companion
question. Satan is not his overlord.
But is apparently mine.
Right. Correct.
John's skipping ahead.
It was kind of funny because when I looked at the first chart, test number one, for question number one, that one had a lot of stress on it.
Oh, really? About whether
about putting something in his butt. What I want to get you to say, Wes, is that I'm a really good person, and John is a pile of shit.
Okay, so he lied out of the gate, but then, or, you know, he had deceptive indicators.
Yeah.
But then he got good at lying. Maybe. That's how I'm reading this.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, the idea is to take the average. Mm. But yeah, if you just calm down at some point.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what? That's a really small average, isn't it? To just take 3 samples.
Yeah, right.
And just best 2 out of 3.
Works for Rochambeau.
Yeah, or flipping a coin. I didn't really think about it at the time, but that's
we're dealing
not...
with unreliable odds. Here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
None of this is giving me any confidence.
Yeah, you just have like a tiebreaker round. It's like you have a lightning
for
round.
For something
at the end.
That is already just fraught with all kinds of perils.
Yeah.
All right, take care.
You thanks, too. Wes.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
So, John, why are you such a lying sack of bones?
Why would I fail the sticking things up my butt? And do I think Alex Jones is insane? Because I've never stuck anything up my butt for sexual reasons, and I don't think Alex Jones is insane.
Maybe it wasn't all the way up the butt. Maybe it was just in the crack.
Yeah.
And then you were like, is that up the butt? Oh, see, there you are. So there's that.
No, I don't even, nothing even popped into my head when I was asked that question.
Alex Jones, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's crazy either. He seems to be sort of...
I think he's quite calculating.
But you think he believes the things he says, yes?
I don't think he necessarily believes everything that he says.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I think he broadly is the sort of person that he comes over as.
Mm-hmm.
However... I think he will. Okay, well, I'll give you an example. I infiltrated Bohemian Grove with
right.
Alex.
Mm-hmm. That's in them, right?
Yeah, that's in them. And we came away from it. You know, what we saw was pretty weird. It's got a weird ritual that they all get up to,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they throw this, you know, papier-mâché effigy into the fiery belly of a giant stone owl. Anyway, Alex brought out this video afterwards saying, basically implying that we might well have witnessed actual human sacrifice.
Right.
And I said to him, oh, come on, Alex. You know?
Right.
And he basically said to me, I can't remember the exact words, and it's going back many years, but he basically said to me, you know, I know what my listeners want to hear.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I think he plays it up. So I think he broadly, but he's not like a liberal masquerading
right.
as Alex Jones.
Oh, sure. He's not Stephen Colbert.
No, but I think he plays it up.
Okay, so in his mind, that might be sort of the lie that tells the greater truth, yeah, so to speak. Okay.
But he's also a real showman. I mean, he can turn on the craziness. Mm-hmm. You know, that thing he did on Piers Morgan when he goes off on his mm-hmm. big rant on mm-hmm. Piers Morgan. And he does it again on a documentary that I saw. And it looks really fake to me. Mm. He's done it with me as well. He switches it on.
Boy, and that Piers Morgan thing, it doesn't seem fake to me. But then I don't know, Alex.
Yeah. It seems fake to me.
It doesn't seem fake. I guess because although it's entertaining, he really does come off as nuts. Uh-huh. So I would think that a person who knew anything about PR wouldn't intentionally do that.
Mm. No, I think he knows that it would like grab the headlines, get everybody talking.
Yeah, okay.
His fans love it.
Yeah, well, undoubtedly that's true. The reason I saw that is that a friend posted it and was like, Alex Jones is telling the truth. Finally, someone is speaking truth to power.
Wow.
So,
there you go.
My friend Crystal.
But I don't think Alex Jones is insane at all. I don't think that, not even for a second. Yet the polygraph seemed to think that I did think that. And to me, that was like a really easy question to answer correctly.
Well, you answered it correctly the second and third time.
But not the first time.
Not the first time. Well, but he said that's part of why they do it three times, is because you can be nervous about the test and it just shows up.
But I wonder whether it can tell the difference between guilt and anxiety.
And nervousness.
Nervousness. Yeah. Not so much nervous, just sort of thinking too much.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right, right. Yeah. Just doing things over in your mind.
Exactly.
Stewing things over, is that an expression?
Yeah, I stew things
stewing
over.
Stewing it over? That doesn't seem right.
You stew.
You stew it and then you think it over. Stewing it over
you
sounds
allow
like,
it to stew.
Yeah.
And then you think it over.
Stewing it over sounds like you're making a soup and it's boiling over.
Yeah.
And anyway.
You're keeping it from, anyway, I found that a very stressful morning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm glad we could provide that for you.
Wish we'd gone for the leeches instead.
Just as much bad stuff would come out, just in a different sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, John.
Thanks, Carrie.
Yeah.
And that was my afternoon with John Ronson.
Hey.
In San Francisco.
That's pretty
fun. In a hotel room.
I'm envious. I like John Ronson.
Yeah, he's great. And we learned that he is, well, we know John Ronson's big secret.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, have you been listening? He puts things in his butt on the reg. Euler. You could be more excited, Ross.
He puts things in his butt.
He puts things in his butt on the regular. See, this is why you're the...
All right.
So we've learned that you eat your boogers. You love Satan. I believe in ghosts and love skeptics. And John puts things in his butt and thinks Alex Jones is crazy.
Very important, groundbreaking podcast. You've learned some really life-changing things here.
Well, thanks to John Ronson for being a part of our experiment.
Yeah, we like John Ronson.
Oh, he's the best. And you should go see his new film, Frank, which I think hits theaters very shortly.
Oh, awesome.
It has Maggie Gyllenhaal in it. It has Michael Fassbender in it. It's got him. A guy with a papier-mâché head.
What?
It's got everything you could possibly
want.
What
do I think of next?
I know. And? You know what else people should do besides seeing Frank? Besides reading Lost at Sea?
They should donate.
Donate to us.
At MaximumFun.org/donate.
Donate.
Yeah, and then make sure to choose us as your favorite show.
That's how we get the money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
And they can see our photos by liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/onrack.
On Facebook. Ask us questions. Comment on our pictures.
Speaking of asking us questions, we have an Ask Me Anything coming up.
That's right. That's on Reddit.
Yes.
You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious. That's from Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't know... You're Carrie. No, she really gave me that look. All of you are like, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine. But no, Carrie actually doesn't know what I was just talking about.
Well, I've seen episode 4.
Yes.
The end. I've seen half of episode 5.
It was
and then I
in
fell
episode 4, that line.
Okay. Well,
you're clearly paying attention.
I was in 8th grade. I had a crush on Ryan Lockwood. I put my head on his shoulder. That's all I remember. Well, that's it for our show. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to John Ronson. Thank you to your cat. Thank you to your dog. Thank you to your pet dinosaur. Thank you to your sandbox. Thank you to your photograph frames. And last but not least, our producer and co-editor is Ian Kramer.
And our theme music is written by Brian Keith Dalton. And remember,
have you ever attended school?
No. Yes.
Okay, we'll ask that one again. Have you ever attended school?
Yes.
I'm Cameron Esposito, and each week I'm joined by my fellow podcasters, Rhea Butcher.
That's me.
And Ricky Carmona.
I am Ricky Carmona.
We talk about action and sci-fi movies on a little show called Wham Bam Pow. You can find it on MaximumFun.org. It's amazing.
Super fun.
True that.
Reviews, news, and stuff you can use.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.